Where did we get the seven sacraments? Tim Staples next on Catholic Answers Focus. Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we are delighted here to be joined again by the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hello again, Tim.
Hello, Cy Kellett.
We have a problem here in the Catholic Church because we added a lot of stuff on that Jesus didn't add on. And
boy, I've heard that a few times.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the seven sacraments then. In what possible way can we Catholics contend that Jesus himself established the seven sacraments?
Yes, well,
I've got you now, Tim Staples.
I'm going to tell you, brother, a lot of it's right there in that Bible of ours. Yeah, actually, the Council of Trent declared all seven sacraments to have been instituted by Jesus Christ. And I think one way to approach this is to first understand that Jesus, in his very nature, in the incarnation, is sacramental. Everything Jesus did was sacramental. What do I mean by that? John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What is a sacrament? The Baltimore Catechism famously says an external sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. And we would add the grace that it symbolizes, right? Well, Jesus is the ultimate sacrament in that sense.
Yeah.
Because he is the Word, right? Grace itself that's coming into the world. But he comes in a visible form. The Word was made flesh. Why? Because I don't know if you guys know this, but if you look in the mirror, you can actually see yourself. Did you know that, Cy?
Well, yeah. I have some Transylvanian friends who cannot.
That's right. But yeah, we are made this way. We are, a hylomorphic being, a body-soul composite. Hence, yeah. Jesus in the incarnation reaches us where we are. He didn't become an angel. He became man. This is where we are. And really, when you look at the Gospels and the way Jesus ministered, everything he did was sacramental. Let me just give you three quick examples. These are my three favorites.
All right.
All right. How Jesus ministers in a sacramental way. And you can look at virtually any page, just read any Gospel. But I love Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8, and John chapter 9. You can remember that in your mind. Mark 7, Mark 8, John 9. In Mark 7, we have a deaf and dumb person who comes for healing. And what does Jesus do? Does he just say, be healed, bam? No. The Bible says, it's right there in your Bible, he stuck his fingers in his ears.
Yeah.
He spat, right? There's Jesus spitting and lay hands on him and he's healed, right? He says, be opened and he's healed. His ears are open and his tongue is loosed. So Jesus doesn't just heal, but he sticks his fingers in the ears and he spits. Now, go to chapter 8, because in chapter 8 now, we have a blind person. So what does Jesus do this time with a blind fellow? This is kind of funny. Maybe I shouldn't laugh, but this is kind of funny, Cy. He walks up to the man who wants healing, and the man is blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture says he spits in his eye. I kid you not. Jesus spit on his eyes, then laid hands on his eyes, and he healed him. In fact, at first he's seeing men as trees, and then he lays hands again, and he's healed. But the point is, he spits on his eyes. What are you doing, Jesus? All right, go to John chapter 9. Now we have another blind guy. This one takes the cake. Another blind guy that wants healing there. And what does Jesus do? He spits on the dirt, makes a mud pie, and sticks it in his eye.
Right.
You know, I just picture the first blind guy coming, I need healing, and all of a sudden,
excuse me.
Who just spit in my eye? And then the other guy, I need healing, and he puts a mud pie in his eye and then tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he's healed. So, and we could look at more examples like this, but there is a principle here.
Yeah.
And it is that Jesus chooses to use stuff in the incarnation, the way he ministers. Why? Because we're made of stuff. Jesus knows that we need stuff. We need to feel and hear and touch. And that's why we have sacraments that consist of stuff, right?
Yeah.
That is, even if it's just appearances when it comes to the Eucharist of bread and wine, this is made of stuff, right? Whether it's water of baptism, the oil of the anointing, the laying on of hands in holy orders. Sacraments consist, just as our Lord did, of both a spiritual component, he's the Word made flesh, and a material component, that is the water, the oils, and such, to minister to us where we are. When you get that as kind of a foundation, Cy, it makes sense when you start hearing things like this.
Okay.
Unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven.
That's almost the definition of a sacrament that you
sacrament.
Just gave.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. So water and spirit, the spiritual component and the stuff that constitute a sacrament. Now, for my Protestant friends to say, well, that's not talking about baptism. That's talking about accepting Jesus or being, you know, accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And well, there is no doubt that he's talking about a sacrament here of baptism, because if you look at the context, in John chapter 1, verse 31, Jesus is baptized.
Yeah.
Then in John chapter 2, what does he do? Wedding Feast of Cana, he transforms the baptismal waters of the Jews, the waters of the purification rites there in John chapter 2, verse 6, which we know from places like Mark chapter 7, verse 4, these were baptismus or baptismoi, baptismal waters. He transforms them from water into wine, a symbol of new covenant life. Then right after that, what does he do? If you read down a little bit further, you will get to the famous born-again discourse. And then right after the born-again discourse, what do? You get to John chapter 3, verse 22, right after the born-again discourse. This is the only place in the whole Bible where the Bible says, and there Jesus baptized.
Yes, he himself.
Jesus himself, according to John 3, 22, baptized. And then you go to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and he sends out the apostles to baptize. So the whole context is talking about baptism. But baptism is an awesome example of a sacrament because its form was given to us by Jesus himself in Matthew, you know, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He says, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to do and say it all in accordance with what I commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. So there you have the form, the spiritual component, the words, and you have the matter being water. That's what a sacrament is. And if you go down the list of sacraments, you will discover that all of the sacraments were instituted, just like baptism there. Not only did he teach it in John 3, 5, but then he commanded the apostles to do it there in Matthew 28. And in Mark 16, 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But we could go down the list, as does the Council of Trent. And by the way, the Catechism of the Council of Trent as well. You look at confirmation. Jesus himself instituted. He told the apostles, don't go anywhere.
Nah.
Stay in Jerusalem, right? Wait a minute. I thought you were going to send us. No, not yet. Why? Because they hadn't received the power from on high. He said, tarry, wait, and you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the sacrament of confirmation given through the laying on of hands, which is insinuated in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. This is included in what the inspired author refers to as some of the foundational teachings of our Christian faith, the laying on of hands, which would refer to holy orders as well as the sacrament of confirmation. Now, of course, our tradition will clarify all of these things. Now, if we had time, we could go through all of the sacraments and show how each one of them, confession, Jesus himself institutes in the clearest of terms in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. He breathes on the apostles and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain are retained. Jesus clearly there institutes the sacrament of confession as well. And he empowers them then to do the same thing that he did, namely forgiving sins, like the paralytic in Matthew 9, verses 2 through 6. He says, I forgive you of your sins. So when Jesus empowers the apostles to do exactly what he did, he empowers them to be able to say the same words, which is what, of course, our priests do today. The priests do not say, Jesus forgives you of your sins. They say, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know we're going to run out of time here. I would love to be able to go down all of the sacraments, including the anointing of the sick, which unfortunately, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Catholics say, well, that wasn't really instituted by Jesus. It was instituted by the Apostle James. Wrong!
Oh, right. You know, the Apostle James is sharing what has already been established.
That's right. He is propagating what, in fact, it's alluded to as early as Mark chapter 6, verse 12. Says the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the Council of Trent. And very importantly, that's actually an infallible teaching of the Church. If you go to session 14, I believe it is, of the Council of Trent, one of the canons, there's only like three canons, and I forget which canon it was, says if anyone does not acknowledge that this sacrament was instituted by Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. All right.
Oh, that, I don't want to do that.
That means that's a no-go, okay? This is an infallible teaching of the Church. But the beauty of it all, you know, I will resist the temptation of going down the list of all of the sacraments, but the beauty of it all is I like to focus on that last statement I made from Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 6, which is one of the crucial reasons why Jesus gave us sacraments, and that is, Jesus loves us, and he loves us so much that he knows what we need. He knew what that paralytic needed. He needed to hear the words, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus loves us so much that he gives us a priesthood so that we too can hear the same words that that paralytic heard. That's true. Jesus loves you as much as he loved that paralytic, and he wants you to hear, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which gives to us the greatest level of certainty that's possible to have this side of heaven.
Right.
By hearing those words of our Lord and Savior. And really, that's what sacraments are all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He became man. The Word was made flesh to minister to us where we are, to lift us up to where he is. And that's what sacraments do. These are external signs. Yes, they are symbols or signs that communicate the grace that they symbolize to empower us to make heaven our home.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the radical call of discipleship. It strikes me as you're speaking about it that we're not radical enough in our understanding of the sacraments. We tend to be a little bit, they're like a birthday party or something. They're like a life marker kind of thing.
Yes.
But they actually have the power to save us.
You know, it's interesting. I was just doing an article for our magazine. In fact, I just submitted it to Tim Ryland today. So you'll be reading it soon. On Seventh-day Adventism, which I have a CD set on Seventh-day Adventism coming up shortly as well. But I was doing a little research on their view of baptism, and it saddened my heart when I read the article on their official website on baptism. It says, a baptism, a rite of Christian passage, right? Oh.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage. It's kind of like a bar mitzvah, or it's a you know, the quinceañera, right? You know,
yeah, right, yeah, for a 15-year-old
Mexican girl, or you know, no, it's so much more than that.
That's totally different than being radically configured to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism does now save us." Right. I mean, Jesus. Or I should say, in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, it was Ananias who said to then Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Right? This is our entrance into Jesus Christ. And what about the ultimate sacrament, the sacrament of sacraments, toward which all other sacraments are ordered? That is the most blessed sacrament of the altar, where Jesus says to us, you know, I like to put it this way, Si. You know me. I always get back to love because Jesus does.
Yeah.
Right? But when you think about it, For God so loved the world is in past tense, 2,000 years ago. He came. God right. so loved the world. But the Eucharist says to us, God so loves the world that he continues. In a sense, the Eucharist is the continuation of the incarnation because he continues to humiliate himself. And pour, I mean, you think about the humiliation of God becoming man. We could spend a whole broadcast on that. But that wasn't enough for Jesus. He continues to humiliate himself now in taking upon himself, in a sense, the form of bread and wine. Why? So that we can consume him. That's the ultimate sacrament. We consume him. And in that consumption, when Jesus goes into our very physical bodies, graces are confected in a unique way. There is an intimate, you talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, this is it.
Yes, that's the right? ultimate personal relationship.
Now, it doesn't happen by magic because we have to be properly disposed. Otherwise, it can be our damnation if we're in mortal sin. But if we're cooperating with God's grace, we're talking about an intimacy of relationship, and grace is confected in a unique way to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is what sacraments are all about.
Tim Staples, thank you again.
Too much of a blessing, my friend, but I want to do it some more.
Okay. All right. You bring up these other things like the humiliation of Jesus becoming man, and you say we could do hours on that. Well, there we go. There's our next one. Tim Staples is the director of apologetics and evangelization here at Catholic Answers. As far as his print work goes, probably most famous for writing one of the great books on Mary, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, which you can and should get at shop.catholic.com. This is Catholic Answers Focus, and I'll ask you again, please, wherever you get your podcast, give us a thumbs up or a like or a comment or something, and share with friends that we're doing this. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.